Zion's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today is May 16th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number, which you need to text it first if you can, 316-619-4886, because there are so many robocalls. Now, you can find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, Altar Ministry Hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like Maputo, Mozambique, Helsinki, Finland, Stockholm, Sweden, Melbourne, Australia, and, of course, cities in the United States such as what? Raleigh, North Carolina, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Plano, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, City of Zagreb, Croatia. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our programs when they podcast later on tonight. Follow us and share us on Twitter. And that's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. And now a prayer will bring on tonight's guts. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there in ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight started to talk about this subject on our radio program before. Then there was interference. We couldn't go on with the program, so, you know, we told him we'd do it at a later date. Well, so he tried to talk about it on Omega Man's program. Same thing. Tonight, we try the subject once again. So we're going to be talking about the soul. That is, if we can get our guests on tonight. And I'm just big curious because, you know, twice it's been tried, and twice it hasn't happened. Anyway, tonight we're going to bring back on with us Tom Mack. He's the owner at Whitestone Publishing Cottage Publishing Company, and he lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, Net-plus certified network technician, as well as a book designer, and webmaster. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator, IT manager, and controller. We could also mention at one time he was a tax specialist. Tom also did research with Bible codes since 1996. That's 20 plus years of code research. This is the kind of background. He's got a great background. We've talked with him before. Let's see if we can talk with him now. Are you there, Tom?
I am here, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I was telling the folks that we tried this a couple times, or I tried it once, and then it was tried someplace else.
Yes, and both times it took down both installations. Took down yours and took down Omega Man's.
Yeah, and then
finally,
oh my God,
yes. I was able to
so
do...
I'm sorry, you can go ahead and then I'll make my comment.
Okay, but finally we were able to start talking about this a few weeks ago, but real late at night. This is the first time we've been able to do it prime time.
Yeah, amen. Oh, yeah, hey, I guess we are prime time, whatever that's really supposed to mean. I guess that's when most people listen. Is that what that's supposed to mean? I never thought.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just a nonconformist. You know, I don't go to bed till I don't fall asleep until about 5 in the morning. And so, you know, to me, it's not prime time's probably about 10 o'clock tonight for me. Anyway. But it's a great, so what I wonder about, because, you know, I don't believe in coincidence and everything, and it'd been different if it had been just on my program, but it happened on a Mega Man's program, and I just wonder what's so explosive about the subject of the soul that the devil wants to stop. What do you think?
Well,
back to you.
The person that gave me some of the first insights into this subject, he died a year and a half after I first learned about it from him. In fact, he's Ted Haggard's father. The only difference is Ted Haggard's father was a veterinarian, and he was also a very credible man, very gifted man of God. And
right.
He,
well, let's hope this is not a something bad for you.
Well, we have to push through no matter what.
Yeah,
and the
amen.
Lord gives us things. We've got to trust him to take care of us.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
And because believe me, the devil's tried to take me out, but I'm still here.
Yeah, absolutely. and you're a blessing. You know, you're scholared on many different subjects. And even, you know, you're a person that I could go to and say, hey, I want to talk about this. And even if you didn't know it, you could come, give you a little bit of time, and you could come up with, you know, what I'm saying, the correct answer. Back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, enough about you. Let's see what happens. Let's attempt this.
Okay. Let's start. The soul is literally your connection between our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah, and us. It's inside our bodies, but also, and I have a little illustration, and I just sent you a PDF that I hope you'll be able to put up on your website. Because I know a lot of people hate PowerPoint, they hate Microsoft, and I sympathize. So I put out everything in PDF format, and it's easy to read. You can pull it up on the internet, and you'll see on slide 10 that I have a little illustration to show the body, which is really sort of our shell. And inside the body, you have the soul. And then inside the soul, you have the spirit. And if you're looking for a scripture on it, Paul explains it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very Elohim of peace separate you wholly, so that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Master Yahushua, the Messiah. You know, everybody's heard this verse. Now, I'm quoting a King James Version that is restored the sacred names. You can get that on BibleSupport.com, and then you can add it into your eSword. And it's the nice thing is now I'm able to have that, and then I can put it in. Once in a while, I have to look a little closer, and because you know, editing is a nasty thing. You got to do. You can do it 100 times and you still miss something.
Right.
And that was one of the things when they did the 1611 King James Version. If you ever look at that old Bible, there is an enormous number of editing mistakes that if somebody had bothered to do off a proof and edit it, a lot of things would have been a lot better. And but back when they were first printing, they didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is back then, you know, they didn't have all the tools that we have now. Even what, like me, you know, I'm a bad speller because it's not that I'm as much a bad speller, I'm a bad typer, you know what I mean? And I had people point out, they said, there's no excuse for that nowadays with all our technology and spell checkers. Well, sometimes spell checkers pick the wrong word. But anyway.
Well, the biggest failure of a spell checker, if you misspell a word but it looks like another word, it's going to fly right through.
Yeah.
And sometimes spell checkers miss stuff anyway. And so I still have to look. I look at manuscripts, and there are many times when I find mistakes in there, and the guy will say, well, I had four people look at it before I sent it to you. And you're still finding mistakes. And it's, you know, it's what happens here. And
yeah,
so when I look at these, I always pay a little bit of attention, and I also found that they also have a pure Cambridge edition of the King James Version off of Bible Support. And I found it's the one King James that is the way they did it in 1769. Which is pretty much the same King James Bible we use today. But every publishing company decides to change about a half a dozen things in their copy, so they make it unique.
Yeah.
And so when we do these things, I want people to understand. I'm still using the King James Version, which I still think is preferable to any other version. Even though tonight we're going to see where they actually did some things that are not, that they shouldn't have done. I think the biggest thing is excluding the sacred names. But these, half of the translators at that table were Masons. So there was another agenda there. I won't go into that tonight, but.
Right.
But first off, let's take care of the spirit of man. There's
okay,
a lot of scriptures on. And go to Job 32:8. This is a scripture that most people miss when they're studying it. But I found it a number of years ago. But this one is so key, Job 32:8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So, our connection with our Heavenly Father is through our spirit. Let's take King Solomon's Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of Yahuwah, searching all the inward parts of the, they say belly, the correct word is body. You know, things change over the years, and belly used to refer to your entire body. It doesn't anymore. But the important thing is the spirit of the man is where Yahuwah reaches us. And so what happens? The burden of the word of Yahuwah, Zechariah 12:1, for Yisrael, saith Yahuwah, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. So, our Heavenly Father actually put a spirit in us so that we could talk to him. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of Elohim knoweth no man, but the spirit of Elohim. See, man has a spirit, and Elohim has a spirit. Our Heavenly Father has one. So, what does that do? It makes your soul the battlefield. If the devil can win the battle of the soul, our flesh cannot communicate with our spirit. So it's important we know everything we can about the soul of man. Yet you go to most churches, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to discuss it. And when they do discuss it, they use such vague terms. And suddenly, we're going to talk about a couple of those vague terms in a minute. But one of the things I did, the Hebrew word for soul is nephesh, Strong's number 5315. It appears 749 times. 63% of those times, it's translated soul. But 15% of the time, it gets translated life or lives. And when you see that, you have to start reading the Hebrew, or you don't get what you're looking for. And you may miss something, and we're going to find that out here in a few minutes. And the Greek word for soul is psuche. Some people might remember that psychology is the study of the soul. However, a lot of psychologists will argue that, no, man does not have a soul. A guy by the name of Wilhelm Wundt, which I mentioned in the first part of the PowerPoint, argued in Germany back in the 18th century that man doesn't have a soul, that the soul should be relegated to ancient history. Trouble was, he never could prove any of his points. But the thing to look at is the Greek word soul appears 105 times in the New Testament. 55% of the time it gets translated soul, and 39% of the time it gets translated life or lives. So let's ask a few questions. In the Bible, okay, the soul is mentioned 854 times. Why don't they want to talk about it? It's certainly there a lot more than all these other pet subjects they like to talk about. Why aren't they studying it?
There's a real question there. They tend to avoid things that, you know, they can't say in two or three words, you know. They don't get into any deep discussions, and probably because most of their doctrine, if you find them avoiding something, chances are it's something that, is going to go against their current doctrine, and they don't want to debate it, and so they'll skip over it. Now, that's been my experience with a lot of them, and you find it all the time, absolutely. And so here's a question that I know that is on some people's mind. They're thinking, well, you know, okay, God created man, and, he breathed, put a spirit in man so you'd live. But, you know, so when you say also Yahweh put a spirit, are you talking about the Holy Spirit? Is that what we're talking about here when you say His Spirit? You understand? Clarify the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead.
Right.
Actually, not person. That's really not a good word there. But it's the third part of the Godhead. But the scriptures also talk the Spirit of Yahuwah, which is different from the Holy Spirit's, almost semantic, but it is different. And sometimes there's a reason for that. And especially when you start to learn to bind and loose spirits, which is important in deliverance sessions, and in a lot of prayer situations, it is important to know the difference. Because the angels of the Lord can be loosed to deal with certain situations. So it's important to understand the distinctions, because you need that in your prayer life.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, we have a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, we're supposed to get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, I think now that you're saying that there would be three spirits within the body, the human spirit soul that was put into the human soul, and Yahweh's, which is a separate spirit, you said, and then the Holy Spirit. I'm sure a lot of people are confused because, you know, they've never heard any of this before. And so can you make some clarification?
Okay. Basically, the Holy Spirit, like I say, is the third part of the Godhead. He is as much God as the Father and the Son. And, you know, some people got confused about it back in the early days, but we have pretty much come to understand that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a separate and distinct impartation that usually comes after salvation. Because now when we look at this next slide, number 18, what the devil seeks to do is to remove your soul. We're going to study how he does that a little later. And if he can displace your soul, then your flesh is separated from your spirit and you can't receive the Lord. But most people have not lost their souls totally.
Right.
It's a pretty rare time when I see somebody who's totally lost their soul.
Well, there's
usually
a lot of
they
them
have
out
to
there.
Sell it.
There's a lot of them out there, believe me. But you can just about see them, even by simply looking in their eyes. You can see they're without spirit. You know, at least if you're saved and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can look at them and see this soulless stare that they have. But anyway, we're getting ready to go to a break. Quick, give them a website and we'll go to break.
Okay. My website is whitestonefoundation.org. And if you want to write me, it's tom.mack, M-A-C-K, at whitestonefoundation.org. And if you have a manuscript you want to turn into a book, check out whitecottagepublishing.com. And my email is tom.mack at whitecottagepublishing.com.
Okay, I'll put all those links up with this when it goes to podcast, but we got to go to break. We'll be back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Mother's prayer can move a mountain. cause the blind to see. Zion had some mountains lately, deified eyes were open for me. Thank you for the faith you gave her to lay me in your hands. It's only by your gracious mercy before you I can stand. A mother's prayer can move a mountain and cause a blind to see. I have had some mountains lately, these blind eyes were open for me.
Times have we heard it preached from Psalms 111 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Many times from the pulpits of those who teach that the Old Testament scriptures relating to God's commandments do not really apply to believers. A complete examination of the Psalm proves otherwise. It informs us that all His commandments are sure, that they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness, and that God hath commanded His covenant forever. It was Jesus who wrote the Ten Commandments in stone and who said that until heaven and earth pass away, not even the slightest thing would pass from the law. In fact, if any of those commandments could have been changed, He would not have had to die. Because they could not, He laid down His life to pay the death penalty required for our past transgressions and sends us the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance, so that we might have minds subject to the laws of God. In addition, Scripture reveals that the vast majority of times the term fear the Lord is used, it is directly associated with keeping His commandments and thereby doing His will. Yes, the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom. But why is it that most who quote the Scripture stop in the middle of the verse? A full reading may provide the answer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're talking tonight with Tom Mack about the human soul, what's going on. But before we get back to him, a little plug for the Wichita Mission Church and some other things. Okay. Anyway, right now we were talking about books just for a break. Right now we're getting ready to do a Bible study. We're going to start in 2 weeks at the Wichita Mission Church. Now this Bible study is a makeup thing, because at the end of the summer I'm going to put all this into a book. And the book, the working title of the book is Torah and the New Testament. And I know you folks have said that you like to help out in different ways. Really, to get this study done, and I have 2 weeks to do it, I need a laptop. I really, really do. It's going to be very hard to do this work without a laptop to get it, put it all back together so I can get it through the publisher. And I think you all know who the publisher is going to be. But anyway, so pray about supporting that. You can also pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Summertime's coming. When school goes out, our donations drop through the floor. So pray about supporting us. We need help with all things, food, clothing, everything. Large print King James Version Bibles, or just as long as they're not micro print, is good. You know, micro print's really hard for most of them to read, even me. But anyway, so pray about it. We also start June 1st. We start our 20th year of the Wichita Mission Church, and we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be? Is among the sinner and among the poor. Folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radios. Consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, or call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking with Tom Mack about the human soul. Are you there with me, Tom?
I am here.
All right. We were talking about the Holy Spirit before we left, and you take it anywhere you've got direction to go.
Okay, well, let's go back and look a little history. Let's see how they've been teaching on the soul. And basically, when most people hear about the soul, you're going to hear them talk about soul winning. And I can give you four names. Two of them, or maybe even three of them, you may know of. The first one, not a lot of people these days know of him. His name is Frank Norris. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And he was probably the first pastor to have a megachurch. He had 10,000 people in his church when he died in 1952. And Dr. Norris, very controversial person. They called him the Texas Tornado. Also the two-gun parson, because when the Catholic Church decided they were going to get rid of him and actually kill him, he actually pulled a six-gun out of his desk and shot somebody. And there was a big murder trial. Of course, he was acquitted. But it sure gave him a lot of publicity. He was a good student. He graduated from Baylor with honors. And he finished seminary in 2 years. That's pretty impressive, considering he pastored a church while he was going to seminary. This man worked like very few people I've ever seen. He addressed a session of the Texas legislature, and by his influence in Texas, gambling, prostitution, and alcohol were banned in most of the 256 counties of Texas for decades after he died. This was a powerful man. He had a lot of influence. In fact, when Israel was becoming a nation, Harry Truman called upon Dr. Norris to ask him if they should recognize the nation of Israel. And Dr. Norris said, yes, you most certainly should. It's in Bible prophecy. And the United States needs to be on the top of it. And, you know, there's whole books about Dr. Norris, but he was probably the first one to bring the soul-winning movement to what it is today. And one of his evangelists was a guy named Dr. John Rice. And he went through the entire Bible Belt. And if you look at slide 23, I actually have a picture of the Bible Belt on a U.S. map. Interesting that Wichita, Kansas, right on the north end of it. Mm. And so, but Dr. Rice actually started putting a lot of this material into book form. Not that Dr. Norris didn't, but Dr. Norris also had a radio station, and he was doing 10 other things, so it wasn't possible for him to really write books. That's what Dr. Rice did, and he was rather famous for it. Well, he lived till 1985.
I'd like to say something. I somebody pointed out to me, and I have to bow with, you know, the person's correct. You know, we're calling these, you know, we called the first guy, you called him a pastor. He pastored 10,000 people. Really, a pastor, if you're a pastor, there's no way possible you can actually pastor 10,000 people. You can preach to 10,000 people. You can be the head of a church of 10,000 people, but you cannot a pastor is a spiritual gift that is to personally have contact with and, you know, listen to, pastor, you know, 10,000 people. It was impossible time-wise. You understand what I'm saying? So,
I know exactly what you're saying. This is something that Dr. Norris had to deal with, because when he started out, there was maybe 1,000 people that went to church on Sunday. And he did a lot of things. Like I say, he was probably the first guy to go on radio and preach every day in the Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Right.
He also edited a newspaper. But he also had a lot of people working for him.
Well, and, there you go.
And that was the thing he had to learn in all this, is he had to have good people working under him. And he also had to understand that people working under him would eventually branch out and do their own ministry, which is what Dr. Rice did. By the way, when I say doctor on all these men, they were honorary doctorates. I have a problem with somebody calling himself doctor when he didn't earn the degree.
I agree with that. And they you know, they pass those out left and right. I in fact, I had a couple of ministries, you know, give me that honorary Doctor of Divinity title. Now, while, you know, I've studied the Bible all my life, and you know, I am an ordained minister by several different places, all of those things really don't matter. What matters to me is I was called by the Father to do the work that I do. And, you know, as far as Pastor Dan, that was pegged on me by the people. But, you know, yeah, I'm legally ordained, but I don't like those titles, you know. I just believe that, you know, we work in the gifts of the Spirit, and that's how we go. But titles need to be identifying. I mean, you know, I do say, yeah, I'm the pastor of Messiah's Branch, and I go by pastor because the name as we use it isn't exactly like, if you know what I mean. It's not using the name as, like I say, okay, pastor, I'm the head of the church. Well, but that isn't used in the same term as the spiritual blessing. That's what I'm trying to say. You understand
right.
What I mean?
Yeah, I have a similar situation, because once upon a time I taught college, and by virtue of that I was a professor. And that stuck and stayed with me, even though I haven't taught in over 20 years.
Right.
Except, you know, I get on radio programs like this, and I talk on radio programs, still teach, and I still do pretty much everything I did in a college classroom. But it's, you know, the title is there only because, you know, I actually worked and got to that role at some point in my life.
Well, you earned it. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's
right.
Just like, you know, a person, you call the president Mr. President even after he's out of office, so that there's a couple of them I'd like to, I wouldn't call them president when they were in office. But yeah, moving right along. Anyway, back to you.
Okay, well then, finally the fourth person is where we start seeing the chinks in this doctrine, was a man by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles. He's famous for the multi-million-dollar bus budget he had in Hammond, Indiana. He literally sent buses up to, I guess, 100 miles away to pick up people and bring them to his church.
Wow.
And his church had, at its top point, about 20,000 people every Sunday. Again, we're seeing a mega church, and they had a lot of growing pains. And one of those being that some of the people within his church had some issues. They started getting accused of being like a cult. Also, there were a lot of child abuse charges. And then after Dr. Hiles died, his son-in-law, Jack Schaap, took over. And a few years afterwards, he was arrested for transporting a minor in interstate commerce with the intent to engage in sexual activity.
Really?
And, well, he got 12 years in federal custody, pleaded guilty. I got a feeling they had quite a bit more, but he was more than willing to, how would you put it, take that plea bargain and move on. Well, the church has suffered considerably since that, and there's been other mega churches that in the area that have pretty much taken away from what he had. But now what we need to do is look, what is that chink in that armor? What keeps causing these places to have these problems? And I asked that question, and it wasn't until about maybe 10 years ago that I got an answer. The big scripture that these people use is Proverbs 11:30b. He that winneth souls is wise. We've heard it 1,000 times. Well, I finally decided it was time to look at the Hebrew and see what it says. And the word that gets translated winneth is the Hebrew word lekwash. It's used 975 times in the Old Testament. So I dug up Brown Driver Briggs and decided, let's see what this word means. It means to take, get, fetch, grab, lay hold of, seize, acquire, buy. Even gets used a couple of times when somebody took a wife. But only one time in 975 occurrences does it get translated winneth. Going, oh, somebody's messing with something. So I started looking at the second key word, wise. Hebrew word is shakam. And when I started looking at it, I found out that our word wise had a different meaning in the 17th century than it does now. We think of a wise person as somebody who's smart, who knows how to handle things. Well, that isn't what a wise person was in the 17th century. They were skillful, shrewd, crafty, cunning, wily and subtle. And we have a few other descriptions. But unfortunately, what we're finding out is this verse doesn't say what people think it says. The best translation, he that takes or steals souls is cunning. Going, okay. So, you know, I start asking the questions. Is this possible? Could these preachers be stealing souls to enhance their own wealth? And, you know, we start looking at these mega churches. And you go to Wikipedia, and there's now about 100 of them. Churches that have 20,000 members or more. And the biggest thing is, why are their basic doctrines so shallow?
Yeah, let's talk about this just for a minute, because this is really important. You know, people talk about, you're talking about the shallowness. You know, they say, okay, just accept Jesus and be saved, and they do it on TV. Now, look. The Holy Spirit can, I mean, you can be saved at literally any place there was. With me, it was looking in a mirror, and I broke down because I didn't want to be who I was. But my point is this, these big churches, not only are they putting forth doctrines that, you know, that's a good word for them, shallow. I mean, what do you think about in reality about these big mega churches? I mean, you know, should we all just run and go be in one? Because they have all these programs, like you say, that, you know, to keep us busy and to do all these different things. And I know that some that have bowling alleys in them. So, gee, shouldn't we be running to these places? Back to you, Tom.
Well, honestly, I remember one time we went to a Baptist church in Dallas-Fort Worth area that had a Starbucks in the back.
That's not
unusual. You know very well that the logo for Starbucks is a false goddess.
Yeah, amen.
Listen
to this a minute. I don't go to mega churches, but even some of the small, moderate churches, you know, 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, not 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, but one church, they do like 600 people in two services. And, you know, the point is that even they're building coffee bars and everything, and they're building around social media. You know what I mean? And coffee bars, come on. You know, it's okay to get a cup of coffee in the church after service, whatever, but they're serving lattes and all these things. I mean, and the guy says, you should come to our church. Man, we've got a great coffee bar. Wait a minute. Is that what's supposed to lure us in? Back to you.
I don't read about any coffee bars in the Bible. In fact, coffee is not even mentioned in the Bible. I hate to tell people, but the thing is, what I found out is we're seeing these large churches because they're stealing souls. Ezekiel 22, we're going to finish there tonight. Go to the 25th verse, and it says, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things, which is, they have a lot of money.
Right.
And they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. We are seeing this money issue become a major problem. But also it's because they devoured souls. Suddenly, and Rick Warren said it, he said that he doesn't believe a human being has a soul, but that all the members of the church become a collective soul, which is sort of the teaching of Peter Drucker, who is no way, no how Christian. And I know, yes, he prayed with Rick Warren one time. I saw that. I couldn't believe it. But I have no time for Peter Drucker, by the way. I have an MBA, and we studied all that, and most of his is just pop management, and it doesn't work in the real world. But it gets worse. We go to Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have violated my law. In fact, they teach these days that the law has been done away with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So of course they're...
If we sit down with these guys and give them sound doctrine, that's why they're so shallow. They can't combat it, you know. It's done away with. In fact, you know, they're not to change off the subject, but this is a subject. That's why, you know, I prayed for a long time about the book that I was going to do. And like I say, the working title is Torah in the New Testament. We're going to start, the point is I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that most of the New Testament is simply quotes from Torah, is direct usage. And that's what this book will show. So there's the point. So if you get away with Torah, you would have to throw it all out. Back to you. Got about 2-3 minutes.
Okay. And these last few slides, Ezekiel 22 goes through everything they do. For one thing, they put no difference between holy and profane. People don't know what's clean and what's unclean. They don't know what the Sabbath is. They're not taught anything. You go to verse 27, they're actually not only devouring souls, they're destroying them. Ezekiel does not hold anything back. And not only that, when they build their spiritual sanctuaries, they daub them with untempered mortar. That's why we see so many of these organizations having troubles with adultery, with other sorts of sins. And even one finally said he was an atheist the other day. And they divine lies to their people. They're saying that Yahuwah spoke when he didn't speak at all.
Yeah.
And
they did. Let me say that because you brought this up, and I know we only got about 2 minutes, but this needs to be said. They use the Father's name in vain by saying, you know, Yahweh said this, or the Lord told me this today. And that's what the Lord said. That's actually using witchcraft on a person, because if you tell a person, well, the Lord told me, instead of any kind of scriptural reference, you know, and they speak presumptuously, but that is, it makes you feel like, oh, well, I better do that, or I better believe that because the Lord told you. That's corruption. Back to you. We've got about a minute and a half.
Yes, I think what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to continue with this, because this gets even hotter. This is one of the things that when I've studied it, I feel like I've got a hand grenade in my hand, and it's going to blow any second because of everything I've discovered here.
Yeah, amen. Where the direction this is starting to go now, you know, and probably in this last 10 minutes or so, when we started getting to the heart, the modern day heart of the problem, so to speak, you know, the mega churches and what the New Testament church and doing away with, these are the things we need to address. And we will do a radio program up on that to finish up on this one. I'll send you a date. I don't think it's next week's clear, but the week after, one of the two will be clear and we'll finish up.
I look forward to that. I think we've got a lot to cover here.
Yeah, now that we've opened up the can of worms, yeah. And sometimes that's what it takes. It takes time to unpack things, you know what I'm saying? And so now with it out, you know, right now things that are coming through my head, I could speak another hour easy. You tell the people where they can find you, and we're going to have to let you go.
Okay. My website is whitestonefoundation.org, also BibleCodes.co and WhiteCottagePublishing.com. There's a few others, but you can pretty much get to them through those. And
right.
And you can write me at tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org.
I'll make sure I include all those in the podcast when I put them up after a while, shortly. Probably, folks will probably be up by about 9:30 or 10. Well, Tom, thanks for being on with me. I really got to let you go. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure.
He's left. All right. Okay, folks, that was Tom Mack. Check him out. The links will be up on the website. Well, they'll be wherever it's podcast, so pray about it. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We could use your help now. And remember, summer's coming. It's almost here or whatever, and donations go down. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. If you're saved, how can you not be a blessing to others? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The word requires it, and it's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.